series on living off the promises of God. By the way, it's good singing, good playing tonight, wasn't it? I mean, aren't you glad that we come on Sunday evenings to have an enjoyable time singing together and having fellowship and singing good psalms and praises in the hymns? Tonight we're looking at the comfort of the promises, the comfort of the promises. I have to admit, as I broke down the series and I put down this comfort, I was thinking, I really love to preach on comfort. Because everybody needs comfort, don't we? I mean, we need to, or as one guy said, everybody needs a good old hug. And that's what comfort is, when God gives us a good hug. So Psalm 119 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life." Isn't that good? Psalm 119, verse 50. Of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he talks about the comfort. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts." Any comfort that we receive, whether it's from, even from people, is a comfort that God has directed. And mostly tonight we want to look at his promises. And, you know, it says in the book of Isaiah that God would comfort us as a mother comforts her children. How does a mother comfort her children? Well, when they have a little boo-boo, they go running to mama, and what does mama do? Give them a big old hug. It'll be all right. So God comforts us that way, right? And the comfort he gives us, we're going to look at tonight, is through his promises. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many promises. Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to draw out those promises and the comfort from those promises and receive your comfort. How we need your grace, and pray that you would give us grace as we just open this up tonight and look at the beauty of your comfort in your promises. We need your help, so we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Comfort or encouragement to press on in life and not to give up. I forget which Olympic it was. Maybe you saw it. Maybe it was pretty long ago. A man was running, I believe it was 400 meters, one trip around the track. And right off the bat, he came up short because he pulled a hamstring muscle, a muscle in the back of your leg. And I've had that happen to me before. It can throw you down, but it just kind of tears loose or something. And it's really hard to walk. And so he's in the track, right? And he's refuses to give up. But every step that he takes is really painful. And out of the tunnel of the track comes his dad. His dad ran with him, holding him up. And basically, he didn't really run much, but he completed the 400 meters. That's what we think about when God comforts us. We're running and we come up short. Whatever happens in life, there's so many things that happen that kind of put us to a stop, to a halt. Discouragement or doubt. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's financial. Whatever it is, we kind of come up short. And God steps in with his promises to kind of pick us up and help us to keep going. It's interesting. Listen to these words in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, "We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." So there's a fellow by the name of William Spurto that wrote about the promises of God, and I keep consulting him, and he broke down the comfort this way, the pure comforts of the promises, the full comforts of the promises, the sure comforts of the promises, and the universal comforts of the promises. I would like to follow that outline. It's pretty good. But here's how I'm taking it as this verse. Now, here you probably have heard this verse before, but it's real easy to remember the address. It's Proverbs 25:25. Proverbs 25:25. You just think about that, and here's how it goes. "Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Now, I want to apply that to God's promises, because they are like good news from a far country, that God in heaven sends a good news to us. Of course, that shows the gospel, isn't it? The gospel is the good news from a far country, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. This good news, And so like when we're thirsting, hungry and thirsting for righteousness, and we hear the good news, it's like we take in this great big gulp of water that just refreshes our soul as we take in the gospel. Well, we'd like to also consider that in the picture of the text here, that as you've waited, sometimes you wait for good news. I was thinking, I read this book by a biography about Eric Little. You might know him. He was a missionary in China. He was the guy that they made the movie Chariots of Fire about. Okay, and so he, when he was in China, they would take years. A letter would take years to get back to his wife was Canadian, and so they would take years before they ever get any word about him. So I was thinking about like a missionary. Like, you know, I grew up in a church that was really supported a lot of missionaries, and we waited for mail for missionaries that we would pray for, that we supported. And when we got mail, it was like, it was almost a year later. But that's when Eric Little was serving his family back in Scotland. It took years before they would ever hear a word from him. Sadly, it was that when he died, he had sent his wife back because of the uprising in China. And he himself was even imprisoned in a prison camp. And while he was in a prison camp, he taught children. Okay? He made the most of the time and shared the gospel. And anyway, so he died. His wife never received any information about him dying till 3 years later. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? So tonight we're looking at good news from a far country. Sometimes it takes, you know, the missionaries are out there that took a while to get word back. But when he got it, it was good. So we're looking at this. We need a word from God, a help from God. Let me give you a little example. Today I really enjoyed talking to Jane. Jane is our gal that's in the wheelchair, and she lives in a nursing home. And she wanted to share with me this wonderful experience she had. That she opened her Bible, and she had it open to Psalm 23. And she said, while she was just about to read it, it seemed to come out of the page. And she was sharing, like there was some mysterious thing. And I said, well, Jane, have you ever memorized Psalm 23? Well, she said, oh, yes. I think about it all the time. I said, what do you think the Spirit of God does with the Word of God that we memorize? He brings it back in a fresh way. And so she said, it's almost like it jumped out of the page at her. Well, of course, the Spirit of God is helping you to focus on the Word of God. God was giving you special comfort through the truth of Psalm 23. And she was encouraged to think that God would do that to her, that the Spirit of God would do that. Anyway, tonight, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The first thing I want to look at, the pure comforts of the promises. So it's like cold water. Refreshing cold water. I could talk about this and you all would be really thirsty. I remember one preacher was preaching that one time. And you know, the old style, they used to have this little thing next to the pulpits and they'd have a pitcher there. Okay. That was a danger for me because one time I was preaching in the church and I went like this. And I knocked the pitcher out and somehow I caught it and put it back out. That was weird. Okay, I remember some preacher though. He kept talking about being refreshed, and he just poured some water, and he would drink it. That's nasty. People back here in the audience, they were getting thirsty. All right, so a couple of scriptures here. It says in Isaiah chapter 12, he says, "For the Lord God is my strength and my song; He has become my salvation. With joy, I will draw water from the wells of salvation." Okay, with joy we'll draw well waters from the well of salvation. Now here's what it says, Isaiah 55, verse 1. You probably know it by heart. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come to buy wine and milk without money and without price. Okay, come and buy and eat, it says. Okay, so come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come and be refreshed. Okay, the God's promises are there for us to be refreshed by that, because that's a way of God comforting us in finding the pureness of His comfort. In Jeremiah chapter 2, this is the opposite, where He says in Isaiah 55, come to the waters, all who thirst, come to the waters, no money, come by and eat with wine and milk without price. In at chapter 2, he says, my people have committed two evils. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they've hewn out to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And that's sometimes we neglect what God has given to us, and I'd say even in his promises. Notice he says, refreshing water, everyone who's thirst comes to the waters, but notice what you get. You get wine and milk. Wine is good for the, he says, to gladden your heart in Psalm 104. Milk, of course, we need the spiritual milk of the Word to help us to grow up into salvation. But it's refreshment, refreshment that God gives us. He says he'll even make the wilderness a pool for us to, a pool of spring of water. So, let's take this couple of promises here and just think about the refreshing part of this. Okay? We're going through life and we're struggling through life. And we're wondering when we start to have doubts about things. I wonder how you're going to get through this. And we pick up the Word of God and the promise. It says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not going to give up on you. God didn't start this to get you going down the road and then say, see you later. I'll see you later. No, he's with us and he'll take us to the very end. How does that refresh us? We need a word of comfort. We're struggling at the moment. But when we hear that God is not going to give up on us, it refreshes our soul. Here's another one. Sometimes we became a little bit worried. Is anybody ever here worried about things? Not us. No, not anybody here. But with some, so say we did. Say one time we did worry. Okay? And we're kind of dried up because we're worried. And so we read in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what does he provide? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It refreshes your soul. It's pure. It's the pure comfort of God. Secondly, William Spurto called it the full comforts of God. And notice it's to the thirsty soul. It's to the thirsty, as cold water is to the thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thirsty soul, thirst lets you know that you have a need. Sometimes we hide that, you know. We try to hide the fact that we're thirsty. If we paid attention to our thirst, we would drink more water like we should, right? But we try to hide it. I'll get to it in a minute. We don't drink enough water, and the next thing you know, we're dehydrated. It's real easy to do here in Florida, especially as the sun goes up, you know, that we just don't drink enough. But actually, thirst is really good for us because it's a signal to our bodies that we need to drink water. That happens physically, that happens spiritually. Listen to these words from David in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for a flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God and for the living God. That's a blessing, isn't it? To thirst. It's letting you know you need something. And so the thirsty soul, it says in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you because my soul thirsts for you and my flesh faints for you. Well, of course, thirst is a blessing. As Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because there's a bunch of people that don't thirst. But we hear the words from God to say, you are blessed if you thirst. He provides satisfaction for the thirsty. Remember the scene in John chapter 4? Jesus talked to the woman at the well about the water that he offered her. He said, who drinks of this water, the water that she was fetching there at the well, will thirst again. He said, but whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. And the water that I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said, give me some of that water. Sounds good. Why? Because she was, in her soul, was thirsty. Our soul sometimes thirsts. We need comfort for the soul. Sometimes we look at, the situations in life. Is God going to answer my prayers? And we ask, our souls begin to thirst. And we feel like David, I'm thirsty, oh God, as a deer pants. He's thirsty. And so my soul is thirsty. And he has the promise in Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Isn't that a wonderful word, nigh? He's near. He's right there. He's not far off. And that's a promise. God says he is nigh to those who call upon him. Also, in Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh to them who are of broken heart and saves those who have a contrite spirit. Can you get any better than that? When you're thirsty for God, you're desiring him because you're heartbroken or you feel like things are not working out. We go to a promise and he satisfies the thirsty soul. Well, we have the pure comfort, the full comfort, and notice the sure comfort. I would just draw that from the words, so is good news. Good news. There's a scripture I read this morning, and I'll just read it again because I want to refer to the place where it came from. Okay, first of all, in Romans chapter 10, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear? Or how they believe in him who have never heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Isaiah 52, from which Paul drew that, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's what our souls long for, to know that God reigns. Our souls need that. We're thirsty for that. We want to hear that. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Cry unto Jerusalem that their warfare is over, their iniquity is pardoned, and they receive double at the hand of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 52, it says, break forth into joy and sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Israel. He has laid bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's what Jesus Christ has done. So let's look at a couple of promises, what I call the sure comfort. The sure comfort. We need a good news from far. We need that good news. So Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 is good news. When God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Aren't you glad it's that way? You ever have trouble figuring out things in life? Yeah, we all do. Aren't you glad we don't have to instruct God on anything? Aren't you glad that when you pray to Him, He knows the end from the beginning? Okay? When you're trying to figure things out and you need wisdom, you can go to Him for wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men freely, right? He gives liberally. He really doses it out when we ask. Okay? We know we have to ask in faith, not doubting, but we believe Him. But we understand that it is comforting to know that His thoughts are far above our thoughts and His ways higher than our ways. He has it all under control. We don't have to think about it. Our God reigns. The other one is Psalm 76 and verse 10. I quote it all the time here, and I hope that you all are learning it. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall be, God will restrain. Surely the wrath of man will praise him, the remainder of wrath He restrains. He has it all under control. Our God reigns. And finally, the universal comforts of the promises. I was thinking about this. Good news, this is good news, so is good news as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Well, we want to look at that good news coming from a far country, even heaven. It says, our God is in the heavens, Psalm 115, we read this morning. Our God is in the heavens, He does whatsoever He pleases, right? Psalm 85 talks about this when he says, this picture of Jesus on the cross, where it says, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy looks down from heaven, truth springs up from the earth. It actually goes on to say, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, where righteousness looks down from heaven and truth springs out of the earth. So Jesus Christ is on the cross. He represents truth, right? And God represents righteousness. And they come together when Jesus dies on the cross. So that now, there is mercy and peace. God shows mercy because we've been brought together with Him in peace. Good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the Father's will which He has sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He's successful. So, what do we have? Some good news from far country. I like to think about it this way. We have good news in the fact that we, as Gentiles, have been given the gospel. Okay, the gospel went forth from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we as Gentiles are exactly what Paul described in Ephesians chapter 2. Can't wait till we get to this on Sunday morning, but listen to it. Wherefore, remember that you being in the past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, hold on to this now, you who were sometimes far off have been brought, here's this word again in the King James, have been made nigh. You've been brought near. You've been brought into the fold. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 19 to say, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now here's what it is. You've been brought in, so now we look at the promises of God ever differently. Because it's all centered around Jesus Christ, of whom it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that all the promises of God have their yes and their amen, where? In Jesus Christ. So you have been brought near by Jesus Christ. All the promises are God's yes in Jesus Christ. There are sure promises. So we go to promise like this. Psalm 102, verses 16 and 17. Most of the time I just quote verse 17, but I want you to notice the context. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion. Okay? When does the Lord build up Zion? Well, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He's established His king on His holy hill of Zion, as Psalm 2 says. And who is that? The one that says, to whom He says, this day have I begotten thee. That's Jesus Christ. And Paul makes it clear in Acts chapter 13, God saying that is the same as raising Jesus from the dead. He said, here's my king. Okay, so now watch this. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. And that's where Jesus is right now. He is in His glory with the Father. And here's what He says. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Do you identify with that? Sometimes we don't, because we don't want to admit that we're destitute. But if we can just realize it's because Jesus Christ has been ascended on high on the holy hill of Zion, and He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's also our high priest, and He says He will not despise the prayer of the destitute. His ear is open to their cry. Isn't that precious promise? Isn't that good news from a far country? Yeah. Another good news from a far country. Sometimes things in the Old Testament, we say, okay, those were for Israel. Wait a minute. Because we are one with them now, as far as being brought into the household of faith, we have this blessing. And so the writer of Hebrews took a promise that was given to Joshua before he went into the promised land, where God said, I will not leave you or forsake you. So the writer of Hebrews says, okay, here's what we do. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. Right? And be content with such things as you have. And then he says, for he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do in me. See, it's good news from a far country because that was given to Joshua before he went into the land of Canaan. But the Hebrew writer of Hebrews says, oh no, this is for you. This is for you, child of God. This is something to refresh your soul. This is good news. It was a far country away. It was a far time away. But it's just as applicable for you today where you are. That God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Is that good news? That's excellent news. As you begin this week, as you go out through this week, God says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I was reading a Spurgeon sermon on this one time, and I can just picture him doing this. But yeah, he said, we should read like, I will never, 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 never leave you. And I will never, 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 never forsake you. He says, that strong. Sometimes I need to wake people up. I'll do that. But y'all are awake tonight. But you don't understand. There's a lot of weight in that never. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Put yourself in the shoes of Joshua for a minute. Not Joshua Glandon, Joshua in the Bible. Okay? I think I could not fit in his shoes. I don't know, he never wears shoes. Every time I see him, he's barefooted. No? Okay. Think about it. Joshua is going into a new land. Matter of fact, one of the texts of Scripture that he said before they went in said, you've never passed this way before, so pay attention. Okay? And that's what he needed to do too. This is brand new. And they're fighting. And God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You see what that meant to Joshua? Now he's bold. Because God said that to him. And so are we. The full, the pure, the full, the sure, and the universal comfort from God's promises. God comes along beside us through His promises to encourage us and strengthen us. As cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, for the comfort of Your Word, the strength of Your Word, and the encouragement of Your Word. Thank You for our little time here tonight, considering Your promises, and how I pray, Lord, that we would all be encouraged to search out, memorize, hold to Your wonderful promises, for they are good and they are life, because they're from You. And it's You speaking to us. And so we give You thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.